Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilek, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic, and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 166, being recorded on the 15th of February, 2017, with special guest Mike Becker and Marcel Binsale. I'm Sujit, and on Skype with me, I have Kale and Russell, who are our co-hosts, as well as our special guests, Mike and Marcel. And we're really excited to have them on. They're calling in from Germany, so we really appreciate them taking the time to join us today on the podcast, and we'll get to them in just a minute. But before we start, let's talk about all the latest updates in the Azure space. And Kale, thank you for putting a bunch of updates in the show notes. Is there anyone that you would like to start with? Let me guess.
We'll start with the blockchain update, but
there we go. Go ahead.
No, there's been Marley Gray, one of our program managers leading the blockchain effort on the engineering team, put out a blog post last week about the Cryptlet update. So this is a technology we've been working on for some time now. It's kind of a external feature that works with blockchain, so it's not a core blockchain itself. It's more of a middleware piece that will kind of plug into blockchain infrastructure and provide more services and make it easier for people to use these systems. So there's a lot of different use cases for what we're targeting with this, and the blog post goes into those in kind of depth around utility cryptlets, contract cryptlets, all these different ways to run this code. But you can think of it as a way for you to continue developing on languages that you're familiar with, like Java, C#, and whatnot, as opposed to having to learn new languages in this new smart contract and blockchain world.
That's great. And Kale, should we give our listeners a sneak peek about an upcoming episode you're going to help us with?
Oh, yeah. So I guess we're going to do a, here in the next couple of weeks, I don't know which date we had targeted, Sujit, but in the next couple of weeks, we're going to do one on just strictly on blockchain to kind of give an update of where we are, because things are moving really fast there. It seems like every month it's a whole new pile of stuff that comes through there. So it's probably good just to give everybody a break check on that and see where we're at and also where we're kind of going.
Great. Thank you for running with that one. Let's see, Russell, is there anything that you like in the new updates?
A couple of changes or new additions to Azure Search that have come out. So Azure Search has got this ability to allow you to set up indexes kind of automatically, just through the portal. You just go through a wizard process. And to date, they've had support for Azure SQL Database, SQL Server running in an IaaS environment, blob storage or table storage, but now they've added some decent support for DocumentDB as well. So you can just go into the portal, create one of those indexes by specifying your query and what database you want to connect to. So that's all nice and simple. And the other piece around that is some new GitHub samples that have come out for DocumentDB, and we'll post the link to that on the show notes.
Yeah, I used this a while back, the search and DB, DocDB integration, and it was kind of a little bit of a process. You couldn't do it through the portal. You had to make actual REST calls into the service, so the functionality was there. It just wasn't in a nice, pretty GUI.
Great. And then I noticed there's some updates in Azure Backup Server. I guess what they've added is central monitoring. So now you can monitor both your on-premises backup assets that are backed up in Azure Backup Server, as well as the ones in the cloud. And they've added security features as part of the most recent update. Prevention, alerting, and recovery are the three principles for these security features. Obviously, you know, backups can contain sensitive data, so you just got to make sure that they're properly secured. A big one, I think, for many customers will be VMware support now. And it's so if you've taken a VMware backup, it can be recognized by Azure Backup Server and indexed and made available for recovery in, you know, whenever the time comes for that. And then finally, they've added it to a whole bunch of new reasons, including the UK and Canada and the West US. So that's spreading around pretty nicely over there.
Been long awaited in the UK, so that was really good news when that came through.
I'm sure, yeah. Now, what do you see a good demand for that? Like customers asking for that, Russell, out there in the UK?
Well, the backup, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the key things, isn't it? Once you've got your VMs up there, if you're doing lift and shift, you want the backup process to be in place as soon as possible. So, yeah, that and site recovery are used all over the place. So site recovery is used for orchestrating your disaster recovery, but also for migrating. So, yeah, having both those facilities now in the UK is great.
Right. Okay. And then there was this some new updates in the Azure Active Directory B2C service, right? This is where we allow, users to use their own social media email accounts to log into, say, an Azure service that an application might require. And they've added some features to that. I think one important one is they've added support for single-page applications, which is nice because a lot of applications are moving in that direction these days. And now if you have a JavaScript application, you can actually have the B2C support where you could accept a Gmail ID or a Hotmail ID or whatever, and the user can still log into your SPA application. They've added new reporting APIs just to be able to keep a track and see, you know, which applications are using these IDs. And finally, the actual process for consumers to sign up, right? Because eventually an application wants to make it as easy as possible for their users to log into the application. And they've kind of improved that whole process. It's kind of less... It's kind of more friction-free because you can disable the email verification step, which can sometimes be a challenge for some people. So that's the wrap-up. Anything else you guys want to touch upon?
Yeah, there was one I just wanted to call out here that I thought was pretty cool was this App Insights, real quick. There's been an update to the JavaScript SDK, specifically around performance and some reliability things. But the thing that stood out for me was kind of cool was this new, they call it experimental API, or experimental support they're offering now for this thing called Beacon API, which basically allows the telemetry coming back from, like, a JavaScript application to happen in the browser when it's not in time-critical operations. So, like, it won't just, like, blindly, like, slow your experience, potentially. And not that, maybe that happens from time to time, depending on all kinds of different factors out there. But I think that's really cool that we can actually integrate and make it so that the user doesn't even experience any notion of what's happening there.
So it kind of buffers it in the browser for a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Sounds like they've done a lot of work under the covers as well on making it more robust and reliable. So the transmission part seems to be more reliable, and they've put some retry in there. And everything's now going over to HTTPS.
So that's a big one.
All good stuff.
Great. All right. Thanks for all that. Some good round of updates there. Let's get on to our guests, Mike and Marcel. And Mike, I'd appreciate if you guys, Mike, why don't you go first? Why don't you give our listeners a bit of a background as to what you do and what your Azure passion is? And then we'll move on to Marcel, and we'll talk about something that is near and dear to your hearts, which is using Azure PaaS applications for integration scenarios. So go ahead, Mike, you get started.
Okay, thank you, Sohit. Hello, everybody. My name is Mike Baker. I'm an architectural consultant from Modo Application Domain here, Microsoft Consulting Services in Germany. And I try to participate in different Azure projects since start of Azure technology, since the very first Microsoft Azure offer, like WebRoll, WorkerRoll. Because a major part of my customers are in public sector, Ministry of Interior, or police forces, and something like that. It's a kind of difficult to push Asia technology there, but I try somehow to realize and implement different application system also using Asia technology, at least for test and the quality assurance purposes. We talked today about the project we were involved together with my colleague Marcel. And before we start to talk about the project and scope, I would take over to Marcel for a short introduction of himself.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Welcome, everybody. So, yeah, I'm Marcel and also part of the Microsoft Consulting Services in Germany, and part of the modern apps domain as developer, basically, and main focus on Azure projects for IoT domain and also for integration solution. And I had the pleasure get to know Mike last year, and we built up success story and a good Azure solution at our customer. And that's basically my background.
Great, thanks. Yeah, that's very good background, guys. And I don't know, both of you, Mike and Marcel, you guys mentioned the word integration, and we haven't talked a whole lot about integration as it relates to Azure, and specifically Azure PaaS. And it sounded like you guys have done some work in that area. So, give us a flavor for what do you mean by integration, and how do you how have you guys been able to implement it in Azure using Azure PaaS?
Okay, so integration on our Azure platform, it's a big area for implementation for solution, especially actually here in European market and in Germany as well, because the movement, the digital transformation from on-premise to hybrid and to Azure solution is already on the way. And starting the project we are discussing today, starting with the project, we had to choose between different possibilities how to implement this solution. Basically, at the start point of the project, Microsoft had only two major possibilities to realize integration projects. The first one is using Beanstalk. Actually, we have already now Beanstalk 2016. This version which can run completely with high availability on Azure. And the second area of integration solution is based on using of application services, especially logic apps. The first step we did together with the customer, we just analyzed the possibilities, positive and negative sides of each solution possibility. What technology should we take? And we built a kind of solution template, decision template, and this decision went to direction of the logic apps as implementation way for workflows and business logic. That was the first decision. So, Beanstalk or logic app. From my perspective, I would say each integration solution starts somehow the selection of suitable technology and suitable platform. And one of the first solution is what to take. Should we take the Beanstalk solution, Beanstalk based solution, or should we realize it on the workflow using logic apps?
So that Mike, give us what were some of the reasons why one logic app say one over the other one? Was it anything to do with price, licensing costs, or were there other technical factors that came into play?
Price and all other economical sides of the decision also important, but the very first very first and most important requirement is to get the flexibility. We all know that the Beanstalk based solution, they are for high level market, for mission critical market, and for large enterprise solutions. Logic apps provides us with the flexibility, And it's not only flexibility in the phase or on a stage of development, it also flexibility at the runtime, especially now. Well, for example, logic apps are serverless computing is priced pay as you go base. You can't compare that with the price model for a bistro-based solution. And the flexibility of logic apps, especially now, where we have a huge amount of different connectors and data flow control and fault tolerance of logic apps, nears to the functionality of bistro-based orchestration, but enables us with flexible solutions that we can adapt to different requirements and needs practically directly on the fly. We already know that the bistro solution, especially orchestration, requires a dedicated development environment. If you change something in orchestration as implementation of a single workflow, you have to create the orchestration or edit that in a development environment, rebuild that, redeploy that. Logic apps can be changed literally on the fly. So I would say agility, flexibility, and resilience of logic-based logic apps. That was one of the major compelling points of the decision we made.
Okay, that's actually very good. You know, I mean, I did a little bit of work with BizTalk Server in the past, and I know that you know, BizTalk Server had this rich set of ports and connectors, and you know, easy connectivity to various backend systems or partners and things like that. How did you solve that with Logic Apps, or is that something that you were going to talk about, and I just jumped ahead?
Well, the Logic Apps, comparing to Beastalk, they have also the some higher fault tolerance, I would say. So if you register some Beastalk solution, you have some kind of guaranteed delivery of messages running through the workflow. And the logic apps, they may fail by design, but the logic implemented that the logic apps as a basement of the workflow implementation, reflecting kind of idempotence of the complete system, may provide you with a better suitability for customer needs, you know. So you can change it easily, you can adapt it easily, and the simple data flow and an atomic workflows as logic apps is better to control and manage.
Yeah, I had a question too, this is Kale, about when you make a choice, because like obviously BizTalk is probably a bit more mature just because of the time it's been in the market and in the years it's been out there. Logic Apps is a more new product, but it's pretty agile and moving pretty fast. But the other question I had was on the integration side. We have things like SSIS, you know, that we used on-premises, the SQL Server integration services that were really flexible to allow like data ingestion and things like that. What about like Data Factory, which seems to be kind of a parallel there, at least on the surface? Have you guys looked at using that at all, or in contrast, or maybe even in concert with Logic Apps?
Well, we also compared the Data Factory technology if it's used to the customer needs. But we learned that the Data Factory is of high efficiency if you have huge payloads or if you have a large amount of the data to processing. So you create so-called data ingestion windows, time slots for data, mass data ingestion, and then processing. The kind of logic-based workflow design is not so emphasized, I would say, in the technology based on the Data Factory. So Data Factory, in my opinion, is more in the direction of pure data, mass data processing. And Logic Apps is more in a direction of business intelligence implementation. Okay. Business processes implementation. I would also, you know, we are together with Marcel working in the project. I would like to know also an opinion of Marcel, the point of view of him, to the selection to choose the technology we did, choice of technology we did then.
Yeah, so if I can add some sentences, so it's also very quick ramp up in the project with Logic Apps. And so you have the flexibility using HTTP connectors and build your own API apps, which can be connected via Logic apps. And so for integration solution, it's important to handle transformations between different data models and data structures. And so connecting those things with different kind of API apps, which can be called via endpoints, and do the business logic behind, is very flexible approach. Yeah. And so you get very far quick into that, and that's a big advantage also of using Logic apps for that project, I think.
By the way, Suki, if you permit me to say a few words about the security. Security is also one of the major concerns of customer using the this new technology. Logic app is new technology, because the Logic apps by design, that's the kind of public service, which means the endpoint of Logic apps, of any Logic app, can be accessed by design from any client. Until a few weeks ago, we've got a new possibility to filter out the caller's IP address. So we can set up in a Logic app dedicated IP addresses or dedicated interval of IP addresses. Who is permitted to access the Logic apps? A month ago, that was not the restriction. So by design, anyone can access Logic app, and that is a concern of customer from the point of security and denial of services risk. So that's a good idea if you are talking about a security and integration solution, and you're using a Logic app as implementation of business logic and business workflow. You should decide to implement it in a pair, Logic apps pair to API manager. So you cover each Logic app with the API manager API, and this way you can restrict access to Logic app. That is the only one way we found inside of this project how you can protect Logic app from unwanted access from outside.
Is it possible, Mike, to tie the Logic apps into app service environments? I can't remember if they're supported or not. I think they're probably not, are they?
Yes, I would say that I heard about that. We didn't do that. I heard about this possibility to put the Logic app inside the application service environment, but I'm not sure if it works now because the Logic apps are moved from the application service plan, and they are running actually at pay-as-you-go. I'm not sure if they can run in this bordered and separated environment like app service environment. And the second security concern is not only accessibility of endpoint of Logic App from outside, but also the connection from Logic App to receiver of the data. If you access from Logic App some on-premise system, and this on-premise system is protected by firewall, you have to tell to the firewall which IP address will call this on-premise system. But the Logic App is running serverless, which means the serverless Logic apps can't guarantee the same IP address each time the Logic app calls an on-premise system. So the realization of some hardwired IP address for Logic apps as outbound endpoint is not possible. This way, you should master, and for example, as we did it in our now project, we master some virtual machine as a gateway and later move that to the container. With hardwired permanent IP address, and this IP address is registered by on-premise system in a firewall. So Logic App delivers the data not directly to data receiver, but to a kind of gateway instance, virtual machine or container, and this container or virtual machine having permanent IP address are eligible to access on-premise system then. So you see the both ends of Logic App has specifics in the area of security.
That's very interesting. Okay, thank you.
And maybe let me add something to the security. So all the steps within in the Logic App flow are also protected. So calling a API point, for instance, can be handled via security tokens in the Logic App step, which that is submitted to the API endpoint, and the API can assess this token via client certificate handler, and so that connection is also secured on that way, right?
Oh yes, I can confirm that it was a very big improvement from security point of view, that the Logic Apps can support client certificates, and also API Manager can support client certificates. So if you communicate server to server and you don't want to implement that, it's not so easy to implement the authorization using OAuth or something like, or OpenID or something like that. You can switch to client certificates, which we use very wide in this project, and that's a very good kind of protection, I would say, inside of Logic App, as Marcel already said, and also between different parts and modules and integration solution. So I'm actually really a fan of using of client certificates. By the way, creating of client certificates, you can use self-signed certificates, and creation of self-signed certificate, so only a few mouse clicks on your computer, but you have a real protection, and you can control this protection as well. So you can just upload or reject some certificate, and this way you can control access rules for single parts of your solution.
So just so our listeners are aware, because they might not be as up on certs, this client-side certificate technology basically allows, in more traditional sense, we had SSL, which allows you as a client to say, I guarantee I'm talking to the right endpoint on the server side, and this is the opposite, basically allowing the server to say, I guarantee who I'm talking to on the other end of this.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, in our project, we used the certificates on three ways. The first one, as you mentioned, we use SSL certificates to encrypt and protect the server endpoints. The second one, as we already discussed, we use certificates for client authentication. So client can prove and authenticate itself by the server endpoint. And the third one, usage area for certificates in this solution, we use that according regulation of a crypto API for encryption of the data. So for example, we store the data in a database, encrypted, and encryption happens using some certificate installed in the server. So even if you get the database stolen, you can't decrypt the data if you have no certificates and also no encryption module we use for data encryption. So three ways for certificates. So I would say are very necessary if you are building up integration solution with high security concerns.
And Mike, I believe you also use Azure Functions, right, in your solution. Can you tell us how that played into this whole thing?
Well, we had some Azure Functions also in the solution. Marcel built them, and I would take over to him.
I think so. Yeah, we had, unfortunately, we had to handle some errors as a result set in our Logic App, and until last summer, it was not possible to do loops within the Logic App flows. And so we introduced Azure Function that received the payload array and handled it within the loop and pushed payload items to another endpoint or did some operations on that. And we connected the Azure Function via HTTP request as well. And so it's also very flexible because you can NuGet packages based on the core technology with adding them to a JSON file, and so that gives you kind of flexibility in using SDKs which are available, and so you don't need to set up a whole
overhead environment. Yes,
environment. That's right. And you can execute it as a script file, right? And
that's right. I would say I spent a couple of words for Azure Functions as well. I support actually two projects, two customers who is implementing Azure Functions project as well. And I would say that the huge difference between Azure Functions environment 6 months ago and right now. So I would recommend to everybody to install the Visual Studio Code. And Visual Studio Code has a local environment to develop, to test, and to run Azure Functions locally, and then to deploy them directly to the Azure instance. And really, the Azure Functions actually a very good tool for quick implementation, for flexible and resilient implementation of business logic directly on the server side with the different programming languages. And really, I can't wait the time point we can import the Swagger or a Swagger description of Azure Function directly in API Manager. This day will be a very great day in our community, I would say.
that does sound like a great idea. I agree with you.
Yes.
So, give us a flavor. How long did it take you to pull together all these logic app flows? I mean, I haven't used logic apps a whole lot, but it's kind of like a GUI based definition language, right, of sorts, right? How long did it take you to put together all the business flows? Just a ballpark.
Do you mean for a single interface solution? So it only takes some minutes, maybe hours, but at the end you're very quick, and for the whole solution we had to build I don't want to lie, but maybe 30 or 40 of them, and so that was a quick
that's very quick, very flexible. Once you get familiar with the developer environment and with the basics of logic apps development, Azure Functions, that's very very quick jump in. Once you get familiar with the technology, I would say, and I wouldn't lie if I can say, we spend more time for phone conferences with customer than for development. And this is our goal, you know, this is our goal, time to market. It's our success indicator. Our success indicator is time to market. And we spent maybe 2 or 3 hours in discussion with the customer, and near evening where the solution was already deployed to the test environment.
That's awesome.
Quick question for you both then. With all this serverless compute and the JSON that's being generated as part of the logic apps, and you've got functions as well being plugged in, how are you doing the governance and the release management side of things behind there to make sure your code is all properly governed, and you're only deploying and making changes that are under proper control?
Okay, so the official answer to your question is we are using the basics of Microsoft Solution Framework, really. we used Visual Studio Online project, using it as source control environment, and Git built-in possibilities for automatic build and deployment. And the customer had access to Azure portal, and according permissions RBAC, we had the different areas, different subscription and stages, and the staff was informed and instructed how to perform configuration, deployment. We used also built-in Azure functionalities which make deployment and management tasks easier, like for example using different slots for API apps. It helped us often, I would say. I would recommend to use slot-based deployment for the API app. Well, Visual Studio Online already said, and for sure Visual Studio's development environment for developer workstations.
Okay, yeah. So pretty much the same kind of governance as you would for any normal source. Just because it's serverless, it doesn't make any difference.
There was no exotic, absolutely no exotic. Straightforward.
Yeah. Especially, it's also a little bit hard to maintain logic apps, but there's a new Visual Studio add-on available. You can build logic apps within Visual Studio and put the JSON configuration file to the source control as well. And so at the end of last year, we also set up ARM templates for each Azure resource, and we were able to quickly deploy a whole environment on demand within a few minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was also a big step and advantage using ARM templates and all our good tools.
Yeah, I tried that Visual Studio support a few months ago, and it's really nice. It's just the same as going into the to the portal.
Yeah.
You get exactly the same experience directly within your IDE, which is really good.
Sorry, go.
As well, I would say that's not only for logic apps. I would say generally the support of Git from different Azure technologies and products, it's a very great idea. Like, for example, today I was at the customer site and we used Git for deployment and redeployment of API Manager. I would say just the first-class support. You just make some changes and you deploy that via Git directly to the Azure, and you have API Manager with the changes running in a seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, the question I had about when you guys were talking about the plugin for Visual Studio for the logic apps, is that something, I haven't spent much time working with that at all, is that part of the SDK? So users just, as long as they put the latest kind of SDK for Azure on their box, it'll have that piece, or is that separate?
Yeah, that's right, it's part of the SDK.
Okay.
But you need to install another piece, and I think you need to just... search for Azure Logic App Visual Studio, and then you get another, I think, add-on. Maybe you can also find it in your Visual Studio Tools extensions menu.
Okay. Cool. That's good stuff. Yeah, this sounds awesome. I don't know. I think Sajid had to drop there, so I don't know if there's anything else that we wanted to cover here, but... at least from my side, this is very awesome what you guys have explained here and how you're using some of the PaaS services such as Logic Apps to make these solutions work out there in the real world. So I really appreciate the insights here.
What we can also add is that we had several kinds of Logic Apps. So we had publisher Logic Apps that covered the inbound traffic and pushed the payload to the service bus on a certain topic, and then we had several subscriber app that subscribes to a specific topic with a specific subscription and using also labels to filter content, and that was also a big I would say
big challenge and a very high solution. Yes, that was a solution.
And, but a nice solution and working solution. And
And again, no infrastructure, right? Just using the service of Service Bus, which is probably almost one of the oldest services in Azure. It was there right at the start, so that's cool.
Mm. I was just curious from a customer comfort point of view, that the take up on Logic Apps and functions, is that, are you seeing customers natively sort of choosing those solutions for hosting their code now? Or are you still finding that they're looking at, you know, IaaS based VMs and things for that kind of stuff? I know you internally are using that stuff, or you're using it to deploy your customers' things, but are they choosing those technologies as well when they see you using them?
I think so. It's getting famous, I think, and since the ease of use, you can, it's getting very popular at the client.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the most amazing feature of the Logic Apps and Azure function, you spend much time with the with just definition and the identification of your business processes. So it's codeless programming. You have to identify and in words, just take a sheet of paper and write down what's your business intelligence, what are your business processes, what are the single workflows in terms and parameters of your local business, you know, your problem domain. And then once you already have some set of rules of business workflow steps and complete workflow chains, you just put that in bit and bytes like logic apps and major functions and API manager and API apps, and it's quite easy because you are working in direct, what you see is what you get editor, and you don't have to know any deep technological regulations like earlier, the complex interfaces or whatever. Just put your thoughts, put your logic that you can use with your natural language, you just put inside a single block of implementation. It's very short bridge. It's very short bridge.
Yeah, it's nice.
This is the amazing part. By the way, now returning to the first word said in this podcast, if you start with the implementation of Beanstalk orchestration, you have no possibility for such quick jump in. You have to know the basics of the Beanstalk programming, of orchestration, and ports, and pipelines, and whatever. And you can't start just from zero. You need some accommodation time before you can really implement a real business workflow. With the logic app, you can start basically from today, maybe for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
That's a very good thing. That is still under development. The roadmap is large, and it is an ongoing evolvement of the solution, and just in the middle of the way, and so you can expect more on that, and especially in the direction of security and handling larger payloads within the logic app and stuff like that, right? And so that's great news.
Yeah, definitely. This technology is evolving, but also with the current state of this technology, you can build up real industrial workflows, real industrial integration projects, like one we did, and Marcel had a track on a tech radio about this project, just to explain how the real industrial customer is working actually with a logic app-based integration solution.
Anything else you want to wrap up with? Any other thoughts or comments? Otherwise, we'll call it a day, and thanks very much for your time today.
Well, we thank you.
Thanks very much.
Very appreciate, and it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.